sing out of our Piney Grove Hymns music. We're going to start off by singing Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. All right, next we're going to sing Footsteps of Jesus.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Though they lead o'er the cold dark mountain seeking his sheep, or alone by Siloam's fountains helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that makes the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Then at last, when on high he sees us our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at his throne. Footprints of Jesus that makes the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go.
That's right. Praise the Lord. All right, next we're going to sing Wonderful Words of Life.
Sing them. come over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
All right, for our last song, we're going to sing At the Cross.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done, he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Thus might I hide my blushing face while Calvary's cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt mine eyes to tears. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
All praise right. The Lord.
Amen.
Welcome, Brother Steve.
Thank you, brother. Amen. All right, all right. Very good. How are we doing out there? Blessed. Outstanding. All right. Well, good evening, everybody. Hope you're doing well tonight as we get back at it on live stream. I said last Wednesday, that we would make a decision, a determining decision on what we were going to do as far as live stream or public services. And I think to err on the side of caution and just to be try to keep our people safe. And for the fact that this Wuhan virus has now mutated here in the Houston area. And what's going around now is their scientists are saying is even more contagious than the regular COVID-19. This is not any more deadly, but it's more contagious. So with that being said, the rest of the month of July, we will be live stream only. So Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, and will we come back for public worship in August? I certainly hope so. We will keep you posted on that, and as we get to the end of July, we will try to figure that out and see what we're going to do in August. But right now, for the time being, we will be live streamed for the rest of the month of July. So that's what it is. That's what it is. And just to kind of get you used to the idea of this, I came up here wearing a mask. I've, of course, taken it off to speak tonight. But I sang with my mask on. And, you know, glasses fog up a little bit, but you can still kind of see the words up there on the screen. I personally have a mask ordered off of Amazon that has the double exhaust ports in it, and so that is the mask that I will be attempting to speak in when it comes in via Amazon. And the reason I bought it was to preach in, and also it's reusable. You can wash it. Also, you can change the exhaust ports out and clean them, and you can put cartridge, like charcoal cartridge filters in it. But you can't get an N95 mask. I've only got two left, and, you know, working around the house and cutting wood and sawing sheetrock and all that jazz. You got to have one of those on if you want to keep your lungs healthy. So as I'm burning through my N95s, I just have two left. And so, and I didn't rush out and buy them when they were all being bought up. I mean, I've had these for I don't know how many months. But anyway, with this new mask coming, I'm going to attempt to preach out of it and just kind of get you used to the idea when we do come back public worship, we're really going to stress that everybody has on a mask. You can be... this stuff is crazy, folks. And so you don't want to be the one that's getting somebody else sick. So it's just good practice, wise, just to have on a mask, right? Sing with a mask. I'm going to try to preach in a mask. You know, Trevor's in my quarantine, but, you know, to be honest, if I was listening to somebody preach and I was sitting on the second pew, and they weren't wearing a mask, I wouldn't be sitting on the second pew. I'd be about the 10th or 12th pew back. But me and Trevor were in the same household, quarantine, so it's okay, isn't it, Bub? Yeah, it's all right. But so I'm going to try to preach in a mask. We'll see how that goes. Hopefully with the two exhaust ports on that thing, my glasses won't get all fogged up. If they do, we'll have to get some glass windshield wipers or something. They probably sell those at Amazon. You know, sit those on your glasses and clear the fog off of them, right? Amen. Well, with that said, good to see you again. And then let's have a time of praises and prayers. Gator Carter, who is a missionary down in Monterrey, Mexico, I believe, in that region. He's an orphanage guy. Him and his wife start orphanages and then work at these things. That's kind of their ministry. They're out of Houston Northwest up the road here from us. Gator fell off a ladder several weeks ago, maybe talking months ago now, and he was having some issues with seizures, and they wanted to do some brain scans on him. He fell off a ladder, he hit his head, of course, and really injured himself up, and so he had all the scans that they do, you know, when you've had some kind of head injury like that, and all his scans came back clear, no brain damage, and he's not having any more seizures at this time. So that is a great praise. Amen? Hallelujah. That's great. Another praise we have, Florence Hitchcock's sister. You know Ruby. Ruby Baranowski, and then she brings Florence Hitchcock with her when we were having worship. They're in John Thornhill's Sunday school class. Well, Florence's sister, Lois Henderson, has been in the hospital with the COVID. And so touching base with Ruby Baranowski today via the text message. Lois is doing some better. She's been taken out of critical care. So she's just now in a regular hospital room, in a regular hospital bed. So that's a praise. Amen? That's a good praise. And then talked to Sandra Katz today on the phone. She's doing better. She's gone to get her second COVID test to see if she's all clear. And so she's doing better. That's a praise. Amen? So we've got those three praises, and then we have some prayer requests that we want to lift up tonight. We've got Annabelle and Alita's sister, Gloria. And Gloria has got some serious health issues that she's facing with her diabetes and other things. And so we want to be in prayer for Gloria tonight. And also for Gloria's daughter, Elbia. Gloria's in a wheelchair. Her daughter, Elbia, is also in a wheelchair. And Elbia is in, she's in the hospital, and she is in there with a high fever and fighting a UTI. So we want to continue to pray for her. And then we have two more folks associated with our church that have COVID. Robert Holder, he's the manager down here at Hobby Lobby. His wife, Loopy Holder. Loopy, you know Loopy and love Loopy, great lady. Robert has the COVID, diabetic, has some underlying health issues, and really struggling with it. So we want to continue to pray for Robert. Maddie Breyer, Marjorie and Buddy's daughter, Maddie, you all know Maddie. A nursing student at Sam Houston, right? And so Maddie's got the COVID. She's about day 12 into this thing, and she's still struggling with it, so we want to continue to pray for her. And then Bill Neal, Brother Bill, he started his radiation treatments for his lung cancer, and so we want to continue to pray for him. And then Marilyn Davlin. Marilyn Davlin suffering from a pinched nerve. If you've ever had a pinched nerve, then you know exactly what Miss Marilyn's going through, but it's the one kind of in your neck, and that just, man, you're talking about set you off and light your fire and keep you up and just make you miserable. She has received an injection in that, and we're praying that injection would continue to do its job. So do we have any other prayer requests, brother, up there on the screen or up on the, okay, all right. Well, there you go. Well, those are the praises. And you've heard the prayer request, so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's lift these things up tonight, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for the provisions of life, Lord. We thank you for the sacrificial givers here at New Hope Baptist Church. We're thankful for those that continually fund the ministry, Lord, even though there's a very little in-house ministry going on right now, Lord. I pray that these folks, that you would bless them, Lord, and that you would pour your blessing out upon them as they step out in faith during this time and they continue to give their tithes and their offerings, Lord. I pray that you would bless in a mighty and a major way. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to prosper New Hope Baptist Church in the midst of everything that's going on. You would prosper the families that are associated with this church. You would guard their households. You would guard their finances, their health, Lord, their well-being. You would watch over them. Those that have experienced financial downturn and struggles with their health, Lord, I pray that you would touch and you would bring healing. And, Lord, you would just help them work through the stress and the anxiety of everything that may be going on in their lives. And they would simply just turn it over to you. They would lay it at your feet. And, Lord, you would give them the peace that passes all understanding. You would help them through the valley that they're going through. And, Lord, you would just set them on a high place as they work through the challenges that they have to work through. Father God, as we come to you, we praise you for your who you are. We praise you for what you do. We praise you for your holiness and for your power and for your majesty. And, Lord, as we come to you, we just give you these praises tonight. We lift up Gator Carter to you. And, Lord, we're thankful that the seizures are over, and that he does not have any brain damage. And we pray you just continue to mend that body and just, Lord, bring him back together. And, Lord, get him back to 100%, Father God. I just pray that would happen for him and he would have that breakthrough. And then, Lord, we lift up Little Miss Florence Hitchcock's sister to you, Lois Henderson. We pray your continued healing hand upon her. thank you that she's out of critical care. We pray that she would not take a step backwards, but she would continue to go forwards with her healing and her health. And Lord, we just pray you watch over her and be with her and help her. And then Lord, Sandra Capps, we give you the praise there that she is looks like on the backside of COVID-19 and already gone to go get her second test and awaiting results to see if she's virus-free. And Lord, we're just thankful that you brought Miss Sandra through. And Lord, we just thank you. We know you are the God of healing, and we thank you, Lord, that you have chosen to touch these that we have lifted up in praises tonight. And then, Lord, as we think about these prayer requests to you this evening, we lift up Annabelle and Alita's sister to you, Gloria. We pray for her health issues, Lord, and serious health issues and really struggling. And, Lord, during this time of COVID and just lack of hospital beds and doctors and nurses just being stretched to their very limit here in the Houston area, Lord, I pray that Gloria would not slip through the cracks. And Lord, if she needs care, if she needs hospitalization, that Father God, she'd be able to get it. We lift up Elbia to you, Lord, Gloria's daughter. And Lord, we just pray your continued healing hand upon her. Get her over this high fever and this UTI, Lord. And I pray that in a few days she would be able to come home and get out of the hospital and get back to some normalcy of life. And then, Lord, we lift up these two folks associated with our church that are struggling right now with the COVID. We lift up Robert Holder to you tonight, Loopy's husband. And, Lord, we pray your healing hand upon him. We pray that the medications that the doctor has prescribed would do what they're supposed to do. And, Lord, you would just keep his diabetes in check. You would keep him encouraged. You would give Robert a peace that passes all understanding, Lord, and you would just help him. And, Father God, we pray for Maddie. We pray for her breathing issues, and we pray for her heart rate and her pulse ox and all of these things. And, Lord, the steroid that she's been prescribed, this inhalation steroid, we pray that that would finally bring the relief that she needs and help her to breathe easier and better and rest better and rest easier. And, Lord, I just pray you get Maddie and Robert both back on the path to healing and back to 100%. We know it's a long road with the COVID, with this virus, but, Lord, we pray that you would just sit them on that path to healing. We lift up Brother Bill Neal to you tonight, Lord, and we pray that as he continues, as he started his radiation treatments and continues that, that his body would receive that well, that the cancer would be annihilated, obliterated, shrunken, taken out. Lord, it would just be withered away in that lung, and his lung would just repair itself and heal itself. And, Lord, you would just give him a testimony of healing in this area. And then, Lord, we lift up Marilyn Davlin to you. Sweet Miss Marilyn, as she struggles with this pinched nerve, Lord, we know those of us that have been through that, that is not fun. We pray for continued relief. We pray for a restful night. We just pray that you get her through. And, Lord, the injection that she's received, we pray that it would really, really work and take that inflammation down, and that that irritated nerve would not come back on her, that it would just stay calm and she'd get on down the road with what she needs to do. Thank you for loving us tonight, Lord. We do thank you for your word. We pray that you would open our hearts to it as we get ready to read it. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. All right. Well, we find ourselves, we're kind of going to do a recap tonight. And so if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, that's a long way from Exodus, I understand, and we're gonna review what we've covered in Exodus. But so just to kind of get a recap in the New Testament, we look at Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at about verse 23, and we'll take it through verse 29. Hebrews 11, verse 23, and we'll take it through verse 29. The Word of God reads this: by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Verse 26, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. by faith he kept the Passover and sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you for the truth of it, Lord. Help us as we go back and look at the highlights of Exodus 15 through about the end of chapter 17 in Exodus, Lord. May we glean some additional things, be reminded of some additional things. And Lord, may we, as we approach this day that we're in, may we be a people that we can say lived by faith, by faith. Help us, Lord, live by faith. Help us not live with a spirit of fear, but help us live by faith. Faith in you, faith in your hand, faith in your provision, faith in your protection, faith in your healing and your help. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. Last time we attempted to finally finish Exodus chapter 17, if you'll remember that. And we did, an all right job. You know, I mean, it's somebody was asking me this week, how was it doing the live stream? And, you know, it's a live stream. Well, it said, well, don't you kind of feed off of people's energy in the room? Well, yeah, you do. Well, so what happens when people aren't there? Well, you know, I mean, you try to manufacture a certain amount of energy. You know, got three people here anyway. You know, got three people here, and they're responsive. You know, they respond and everything. But we were attempting to finish Exodus 17, and I think we did an okay job with that. But we want to look a little bit at that again, and then we're going to review some of the material that we've already covered. So last time, as we attempted to hastily finish Exodus 17, and I said, you know, last week if we had some time, we'd try to wrap it up. So we had some time, and we did try to wrap it up. As our time was drawing to an end, as we were wrapping that all up, so what we don't want to miss, though, as we kind of recap tonight, what went down when the people of God defeated the Amalekites? We don't want to miss that. What do you mean? Well, you know, how did they defeat the Amalekites? How did they do it? Well, by God's hand, Pastor. That's right. How did they do it? You know, Moses, he held the staff up, you know, and his two friends helped him hold the staff up. And when the staff was up, then, man, they were winning with the Amalekites. When Moses got tired and the staff came down, well, then the Amalekites were coming back on them. So how did they defeat the Amalekites? Well, they defeated the Amalekites by God's help and by God's power. At the end of that battle, Moses, he knew what was going on. And so he erected an altar per Exodus chapter 17, verse 5. Let me see if I've got that right. Exodus 17, 5. Then the Lord said to Moses, pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Now that's when he's holding it up. Now look at Exodus 17:15. That was 17:5. Look at 17:15. Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." The Lord is my banner. You see that? Let's say that together. The Lord is my banner. Isn't that great? Isn't that beautiful? All right. The name that he gave the altar introduces, this is what we didn't have time to cover, we're going to cover it now. The name that he gave the altar introduces another name for God, and that is Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi, meaning the Lord is my banner. So when you see that, the Lord is my banner, that is Jehovah Nissi. What do we take away from that? Another name revealed to us about the character, about how God provides for his people. This is what we take away. The Lord is the banner. The Lord is the banner around which we rally, and the God who gives victory. So, friend, when this is all over, I was talking to my doctor today, trying to do a virtual visit, and if you've if you've attempted to do that and that's been successful for you, praise the Lord. I've tried two of them, and both times it's been swing and a miss, strike, and the second time swing and a miss, strike. And so ended up having to drive in today to see the doctor, go into the office, you know, fill out the questionnaire, have your temperature taken. Best not go in there without a mask. They're not even going to, they're going to turn you away before you even get to the door. And so finally get into the doctor, you know, my doctor's a little concerned about all this. And, you know, I basically informed her, and she already knows this. We've got another year and a half of this. Now, another year and a half of live stream? I hope not. But another year and a half of what we're dealing with? We got another year, a year and a half. That's 18 months, folks, 18 months. So if we get through it earlier than a year and a half, when we do get through it, when we do, I saw this sign. A pastor friend of mine sent me this email. It said "Signs of the Times," and has anybody seen that? Jeremiah, have you seen that "Signs of the Times"? It's really cute. So it's all these different church signs, and they're, you know, it COVID themed signs. And so this one church said, "This too shall pass." You know, we've all heard that. "This too shall pass." And then underneath that it says, "Like a kidney stone, but it's going to pass," right? And so, how does the kidney stone pass? Very, very painfully, right? Very, very painfully. But when we do finally get it passed, when we do finally get on the other side, whose hand will it be by? It'll be by God's hand. It'll be His victory, right? And I want to tell you, if we as a church, or we as a country, or we as a nation, or we as a world, if we miss that lesson, when we finally do get on the backside of COVID-19, boy, we have missed an important lesson. Because the Lord is my banner. He is the God who gives the victory. So, that with that said, I want to ask this question and then attempt to answer it, okay? So what did we as people, what did we as Bible study participants, what did we as Wednesday night folk, what did we in fact learn from about the middle of Exodus chapter 15, 15:22 to be precise, to the end of Exodus chapter 17. There should have been several lessons that we could take away and kind of put in our back pocket, or kind of put in our purse, or kind of put in the back of our mind, so that when these things come up, we've got, the Holy Spirit has access to bring these lessons back up to us and say, aha, see, the God is, He's our banner. The Lord is the one who gives the victory. Jehovah Nissi, right? Everybody say it with me. Jehovah Nissi. That's right. Amen. He is the Lord is my banner. So what did we in fact learn from the middle of 15:22 through about the end of Exodus 17? Number one, we learn the Christian life is not easy. Friend, if you have not figured that out, you've been under a rock these last several months. The Christian life is not easy. The Reverend William Taylor, a preacher in New York City at the end of the 1800s, wrote, "We may learn that we are not done with hardship when we have left Egypt." Just because you get out of Egypt doesn't mean that life is a box of chocolates, does it? No. I'm going to tell you, our journey through life is just as Jesus said to His disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33, the Word of God reads, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace." You may have peace. The Word of God continues in John 16:33, "In the world you have tribulation." Boy, you got that right. "In the world you have tribulation." But the Word of God continues on in John 16:33. It says, "But take courage." Amen? "But take courage. For He says," Jesus, in John 16:33, "I have overcome the world." See, Jesus warned us in the Gospel of John. Jesus warned us in advance that we do not have an easy path to glory. We do not have an easy path to victory. We're going to get victory, but it's not an easy path to get there. Life is difficult, right? As we heard, or as we head to glory, we come to places like we saw in this passage, places called Marah. Remember Marah? What does Marah mean? Well, Mara means bitterness, doesn't it? Mara means bitter. Remember, those waters were bitter, and Moses threw that tree in the waters, and they became drinkable, palatable. They were able to receive those. The question, certainly you can relate to this. Have bitter things come into your life? Have bitter things come into your life? A keen sense of the obvious would be, yes, they have. Bitter things have come into my life. In our current situation that we find ourselves in, we can say that life is filled with Mara things, with bitter things. But these things that come against us, these circumstances that we find ourselves in, what you need to appreciate, if you can tonight, is that this is God's sovereignty. And in God's sovereignty, these things come from God. And even though they are bitter, God has His good purpose. He's got His good purpose for them. He certainly has His good purpose for them. And so ask Jesus, ask the Almighty God, what in the world is the purpose that you're going through this Mara, that you're going through this bitter, that you're experiencing this bitterness? What is the purpose? God, what are you trying to show me in these difficult times? Are you trying to show me something about myself? Are you trying to reveal something that I need to get out? Are you trying to reveal something that I need to get in? Are you trying to show me a habit that I need to pick up or a habit that I need to put down? God, show me. I mean, think about it. I mean, you go through the difficulties of life. Wouldn't you like to learn as you go through the difficulties what God's trying to teach you? I mean, you don't want to just go from difficulty to difficulty and not know what's going on, don't you? God, what are you trying to teach me? And it's not for me to name for you what God's trying to teach you. It's for you to discern via the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and prayer what God might be trying to teach you through the difficulties of life. Oh, I can swing in the dark, maybe get it right half a time talking about your situation, but only you know your situation with the Lord. So you seek His face, right? Do you seek to learn what God has to teach you, or what God has to teach us, your family, or what God has to teach us as a nation in the Mara experiences of your life? So number one, what do we learn? What are some lessons here? Number one, the Christian life is not easy. But number two, the Christian life, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for this. The Christian life is not all hardship. God knows exactly what we can bear. He knows exactly what we can withstand. He knows not to put too much on us, just enough on us. See, we've got these Maras that we have in life, but we also come to these places of Elims, E-L-I-M-S, Elims. You remember this place, Elim. This Elim was an oasis, right? It's an oasis. We also have Elims in our lives, places of refreshment, just as we have the Maras. Christians, you and me, we don't escape, we don't get out of the times of hardship and struggle. These are part of our life in a fallen, sinful world. So that's just going to be part of where we're living, part of what we're dealing with. But we can also expect the Elims that the Lord provides along our way. We can expect them. Expect them, right? Oh, Lord, times are tough. Oh, Lord, times are tough. We're expecting a legitimate treatment against COVID-19. Lord, times are tough. Lord, people are dying. People are showing up infected every day. Boy, a vaccine against COVID-19 would be great, right? Things to pray about. Things to believe in God for. Things to hope for, amen? To have faith about, right? Yeah. Maybe you're in a hard place now. Maybe you're in that Mara place. Maybe you've been in that Mara place, and even in spite of everything going on, you're not experiencing bitterness, right? Maybe you know somebody, though, who is still camped by the bitter springs. You know what you need to do. You need to encourage that person, right? Even though you may not be able to put your hands or your hand on their hand or your arms around them, giving them a hug, you know they need encouragement, and you need to do what? You need to encourage them. You need to tell the younger Christians, those that have never seen anything like this before, and there's a lot of them out there that haven't seen anything like this before, right? You have to go all the way back to 1918. The Hong Kong flu of 68 was bad, but I don't think it was this bad, right? You got to go pretty far back in American history to get to something on this level. So you want to tell these younger Christians that may be really struggling right now, and I think there's a lot of them out there that are. You need to tell them that the times of refreshment, they do come. They are coming. And that when the times of refreshment do come, what we need to do is realize that these times of refreshment are from the hand of God. They're not from the government. They're not from this political party or that political party. Times of refreshment will be from the very hand of Almighty God. Can I get an amen on that? Can somebody type an amen there on the chat? They're watching the live stream. So, lessons that we're trying to glean from what we've covered these last several weeks. The Christian life is not easy. The Christian life is not all hardship. Number three, every true leader encounters opposition. Every true leader encounters opposition. Moses exhibited an enormous level of faith. We just read about him in Hebrews chapter 11, which is the Hall of Faith. So Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith for fame, or the Hall of Fame for faith, right? It's a Hall of Faith, right? We just read about Moses in that well-known, famous passage in Hebrews chapter 11. Moses exhibited an enormous level of faith in these four incidences that we have dealt with in 1522 through the end of 17. And you know what they are. You've got the Marah experience, and then, you know, they come to Elam, and they get that little respite, and then they go to another place, and they need water, and then they go to another place, and they're needing food. And then after all that, if that's not enough, then they come to the Amalekites, and they have to battle the Amalekites. These four incidences here in 1522 through the end of chapter 17. He exhibited an enormous level of faith. Imagine yourself, yours truly, imagine yourself leading 2 million plus people into the desert with no visible means of support and with the closest oases very far apart. I mean, it's not like you can pull up to a spigot or you can pull up to a well just anytime you want. I mean, the water is few and far between. In spite of his great faith, though, and probably because of his great faith, Moses suffered constant opposition from the people. You know, I guess what I love most about Moses is that in spite of all the opposition, he never gave up. He never gave up on the people. He never gave up on God. He never gave up on the idea that God was leading them to the promised land. He never gave up. And I mean, it wasn't like, man, they wanted to, you know, lift him up on their shoulders all the time. Much of what's going on here as we see the narrative of Moses' life is opposition after opposition after opposition. I mean, we've only begun. I mean, we've just started out really as they've left Egypt and gone through the desert a little bit, heading to Sinai. We've only begun to see the opposition to Moses here. But as we continue, he is going to be opposed all through this long journey for, you ready for this? 40 more years. He's going to be opposed. 40 more years. Every true leader encounters opposition. I mean, what if you could sit down with President Trump today and talk to him just one-on-one, just you and him, no reporters, nobody listening, no agenda, just visiting with the President of the United States, one of the most powerful people in the world. He could tell you about opposition, couldn't he? Right? I mean, he's got opposition from within, his own family. He's got opposition from without. He's got opposition from within the government. He's got opposition from both sides of the aisle. He's got opposition. I mean, there's opposition everywhere, right? Every true leader encounters opposition. The question is why? Why do leaders have to be opposed? Why do leaders experience the opposition? Well, let me tell you something. By definition, a leader is different. They're different. People want to put on leaders what they think a leader ought to be doing or ought to say or ought to this or ought to that. And you know what a leader does? A leader does what a leader does because they're a leader. They're different from the masses. That's why they always experience opposition. Now, maybe not opposition 24/7, but there's always opposition. See, the leader, he's the one who sees what most in the masses cannot see, whether the future is good or whether the future is bad. The leader, he sees beyond the immediate challenges and opportunities, the crowds, the masses, the congregations. They'll not usually appreciate that. They'll not usually appreciate that because most folks are just concerned. Check yourself out here and see if I'm not telling the truth. Most folks are just concerned about right now, about right now, about right here, about right what's going on this week, this day, this month. Most folks, now there are some exceptions to the rule, and I praise God for them, but most folks do not think in terms of legacy, in terms of long term. Two examples from yesteryear concerning the reality of opposition are John Calvin and Jonathan Edwards, two great men of God, two great orators of the gospel, two great theologians, two great leaders of people. Calvin was dismissed from his pulpit in Geneva, fired. Jonathan Edwards was relieved from his charge in Northampton, fired. Both of them fired. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the people hailed him in Matthew chapter 21, verse 9, "Hosanna to the Son of God, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." That's what they shouted. But just a few days later, these same folks were crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." The roller coaster of leadership. If you're in a position of leadership, do not be surprised if you face times of severe opposition. You know how you know if you're a leader? You work through the opposition. You weather the opposition. You love the people that are opposing you. You just keep on keeping on. Like Moses. Well, I don't know if I could do that. Well, Moses did it for 40 plus years. So, what an example. Amen? Talking about lessons. The Christian life is not easy. The Christian life is not all hardship. Every true leader encounters opposition. Ask the president. He'll tell you. And number four, God is sufficient. He is sufficient for all our needs. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 through 3. Let's just look that up. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I wasn't going to read that, but let's just read that tonight because I'm wound up now. Need to read me some Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Bible's good for the soul. Deuteronomy 8. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. What is that, number 5? Is that the fifth Bible? Yeah, I got that right. I'm counting right. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 through 3. You shall remember, Deuteronomy 8, 2 through 3. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Amen? What a passage. Amen? Deuteronomy 8, 2 through 3 reminds us that God led the Israelites all the way in the desert, providing what? Providing everything. Providing for them everything they needed for 40 years. He gave them manna. He gave them quail. He provided water from the rock. He protected them from sickness. He protected them from enemies. Their clothes and their sandals did not wear out. He provided, He provided, He provided. See, when we walk with God through the wildernesses of life, when we walk with Him through the wilderness of life, we find Him, we find God to be exactly as the Israelites found Him in their pilgrimage. He's the same God. Amen? That God, this God, same God. Jehovah Rapha, that was another name. That was the first name, the first additional name that was revealed to us in this 1522 through 16 through the end of 17. Jehovah Rapha, He's the God who heals. That's not a bad name to pray to, you know, when you're praying for somebody's healing. Father God, Jehovah Rapha, would You touch Robert Holder? Jehovah Rapha, God, would You touch Maddie Breyer and bring healing to them? It's not a bad way to pray, you know, Jehovah Rapha. The God who heals, who takes care of us, who provides for all our needs. We also find Him to be Jehovah Nissi, N-I-S-S-I. What's He saying? I'm trying to understand what He's saying. Nissi, N-I-S-S-I. Jehovah Nissi, God our banner. Around whom what? Around whom we can rally. Around whom we can celebrate, right? God is sufficient for all our needs. The final lesson we want to think about that we've touched on from 1522 through the end of 17. Looks like we're going to have a little time left over, man. Praise the Lord. You get out a little early, right? Number five, Bible study and prayer are essential to the Christian life. Bible study and prayer are essential to the Christian life. We cannot live without manna. We cannot live without physical food, nor can we survive without uplifted hands, right? We got to have both the physical and the spiritual, right? We've got to have the physical bread and the spiritual bread. We've got to have intercession for God's blessing, man. I mean, He is God our banner. He's Jehovah Nissi. He is God our healer. He's Jehovah Rapha. We want to lift up our hands to Him. We want to praise Him, friend. We want to partake of His Word. John's Gospel again in John 15:5, Jesus said, "Apart from Me, you can do nothing. Apart from Me, you can do nothing." Do you believe that? Apart from Me, apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Does that grip you a little bit? It should grip you. John 15:5. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. If you believe that, if you really believe that, then you're probably a pretty conscientious Bible study person. If you really believe that apart from Me, you can do nothing. I mean, if you really hold to that tenet in the faith, if you really hold to that doctrine in John 15:5, apart from Me, you can do nothing, then you're probably pretty consistent in your prayer life if you believe that. Now, if you just give lip service to John 15:5, oh, yeah, I believe that. If you just give lip service to that, like you know, when people are watching, oh, yeah, I believe that, but you really don't believe that down in deep in here, and you're probably not much in the Bible, and you're probably not much in prayer, right? John 15:5, a common problem, this is a common problem of humanity now. The common problem is that we think we can do things and do them well without God. We can do things, but we can't do them well, and we can't do them in the Spirit, and we can't do them to bring glory and honor to God apart from Him, right? Apart from Me, you can do nothing. The world may seem appealing. The world may seem inviting. in a life of prayer, in a life of Bible study, in a life of church services, in a life of singing hymns and praise songs, in a life of fellowship with the saints, in a life of watching it on live stream, in a life of coming publicly to the service, in a life of being in Bible study, in a life of Sunday school, in a life of being what you are out there, what you are in here, a life of discipleship, a life of all of that requires commitment, surrender. It requires discipline. I love how F.B. Meyer put it so many years ago. He has written this about what's going on in these chapters. He says, better 10,000 times over, better 10,000 times over the liberty wherewith Christ makes us free. Better 10,000 times over the liberty wherewith Christ makes us free. Though we fare only manna, though we get only manna, right? Than the slavery of Egypt with its flesh pots, right? All the meat you can eat in Egypt, right? Better 10,000 times over the liberty wherewith Christ makes us free, though we fare only manna, than the slavery of Egypt with its flesh pots, for there is life in one and there is death in the other. I'll take the life in one. Amen? I'll take the life in one. And the true Christian, the Christian brother or sister, the real deal, they understand the sentiment of that. You don't have to explain that to them. They get that. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, as we continue on in our series of messages on the life and times of Moses, looking at the great book of Exodus. Lord, we pray that you would help us recall what we've heard tonight, that, Lord, as we go to sleep on it tonight, we would be more like Christ because of what we've heard this evening. We would be more like Christ in the morning. And, Lord, we would keep on, not in a spirit of fear, but in a spirit of faith. That's how we would live. That's how we would operate the rest of this week. And, Lord, we would find ourselves back live streaming this coming Sunday. And Lord, when we come together on Sunday, this won't be Wednesday and Sunday the only time we've opened our Bible. No, we will have opened our Bible Thursday. And we will have been in the Word on Friday. And we will have spent some time with you on Saturday. And when we get to Sunday, Lord, it won't be, oh, I'm so starved as a believer, I'm so starved as a Christian. No, when we come to Sunday, Sunday's going to be the dessert because we've had the meat throughout the week. Lord, I pray that we would continue on, that we would not give up the Christian fight, that we would keep your banner high. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Be with us, Lord. Protect us. Again, we pray for those healthcare workers. And Lord, as the numbers continue to climb and climb and climb here in the state of Texas, they're getting more and more stretched. Thank you for those young people that are answering the call to want to go into nursing. We pray that you would help them with their preparation, Lord, and that as they try to fast-track these different nursing classes and get them on board and get them licensed and get them all registered up, Father God, I just pray you protect these young people as they go into this great calling, this great occupation for the love of humanity to minister to their fellow man. Lord, I just pray you raise up the next generation of great nurses and doctors across this country as we go through this pandemic. May you bring about some great minds and some great hearts and some great ministering people, men and women both, as they go into this field of medicine, Lord. We're certainly going to need them. We need them in the short term. We're certainly going to need them in the long term. Thank you for those that have fought the good fight, Lord, that are continuing to fight it. We pray for those that are struggling in their health. Lord, we pray for those first responders and all the racial junk that is still underneath the radar. We pray for the politics of the day. We do pray for our president. We pray for his cabinet. We pray for all these schools across this land from East Coast to West Coast, from North to South. Lord, give them wisdom, these school boards. Give them direction, discernment on how to open their different districts. Father God, we just pray that the kids be protected, that we all be protected, that we all practice our safe practices, washing of the hands, not touching of the face. And Lord, I know I've touched my face a half a dozen times up here, tried to touch it with the backside of my hand. Itch your nose tonight, Lord. Itch your nose. But Father God, may we practice safe practices and not touch our face, eyes, wash our hands, wear our masks. My mask is going back on tonight, Lord, not because I'm afraid, but because I want to practice a safe practice and set a good example. Lord, help us do it. Help us protect each other until this is all behind us. We know it's going to pass. We know it's going to be difficult, but it is going to pass. Thank you again, Lord, for loving us and for saving us. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for planting us right here in this time and space that we find ourselves in. May we seek to learn what you're teaching us, what you would want to show us. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said out there, amen. All right, God bless you, and have a great evening. We will see you on Sunday. If the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, amen. Something like that. All right. Amen, amen. See y'all. Love you. Have a blessed evening.